This is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to another hour of the program. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Wide open in hour number two. No guest, meaning more of you, which could be a scary proposition. You can be a part of the show at 800-636-8686. Conversation getting chippy, just how we like it, on social media. You can hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. You want to go old school and long form, emails are welcome at rome@haveatake.com. Coming to you from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Hour number one, we talk plenty of football. Had a quality conversation with Jason Cole of Bleacher Report. A reminder, especially when Jim is here, the fill-in scrubs, don't worry about us. But when Jim is here, you got to check out the Daily Jungle podcast every day. And if you ever have difficulties tracking down that Daily Jungle podcast, head over to TuneIn. That's who I work for. I do an NFL show for TuneIn every afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern time. TuneIn, your everything audio app, streaming service. That's the Netflix of audio. Best way to catch this program if you're on the road and can't find the show on a local station. Looking ahead, final hour of the program, more guests coming up. So this is the time to get in. And yes, I will throw you red meat and talk Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. We'll hear from Conor in less than 2 minutes. Top of the hour, 2 Eastern, we talk baseball with Rob Dibble, the Nasty Boy. Rob and I did TV and radio together for years and look forward to reconnecting with him. Also in the final hour of the show, coming up 2:20 Eastern time, there's a lot of NBA to get to. Many reports indicating Carmelo Anthony could be on his way to Houston as soon as this weekend. Plus, if you really care about the Summer League, Lonzo Ball had a big game. We'll talk about the overall themes in the NBA coming up in this opening monologue, and we'll get back to it. Final hour of the program when we check in with Rick Kambla from NBA TV. Meandered into a conversation about sports sequels, so getting some feedback on the old tweet machine. 512 Lumber tweets at me, worst sports sequel, Michael Jordan playing baseball. Birmingham Barons would be proud. Beaks in Studio City, run that guy for even mentioning Sandlot 2. I'm pretty good when it comes to movies, but I can't play along here because I didn't see the original. Jackson and Littleton, another bad movie sequel, Brian's Song 2, Remission Impossible. Look, I want to come back tomorrow. This is important to my career. You would think this is my first day in radio. I got to pre-read this stuff. I'm just trying to riff on the fly. What is wrong with you? Honestly, what is so terrible in your life that you figure that is comedic? Yeah, let's talk about terminal illnesses. That's always good material in the jungle. And I'm telling you up front, as we make the transition to Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, with your phone calls coming up in less than 10 minutes, I don't care about this fight at all. I'll tell you why momentarily, but this is your show, not mine. I am merely the fill-in guy. So by now you know their media tour continues. Tuesday it was L.A. Yesterday was Toronto. More of Conor doing his thing at the podium.
Life is so f***ing good. How do I look? What the f*** is he wearing? He looks like a little breakdancer or something. A little 12-year-old breakdancer. What the f***? He's 40. You're 40 years of age. Dress your f***ing age. Carrying a school bag on stage. What are you doing with a school bag on stage? You can't even read. 40 years old carrying a school bag. The man doesn't even f***ing read.
That is far more entertaining than anything you're going to see at the end of August in Las Vegas. That also was free. Why in the world are you going to throw $100 away to watch this debacle? And yes, I'm aware of the cliche of a puncher's chance, and I understand Conor's a striker. If this thing was held in an octagon, I might watch. But you know how this is going to play out, and don't tell me it's drama without a script. Expect the unexpected. You know what's going to happen in this fight. Secondly, I don't want to fund Floyd Mayweather paying off another tax bill. Do you see this report that he owes the IRS $22 million, even though he's made, according to reports, over $700 million? And yes, in the jungle, I understand athletes make a lot of money, and they spend a lot of money. And we know in boxing, Mike Tyson being the primary example, these dudes blow through cash. Secondly, I don't want to support Floyd because I don't think we talk enough about his legal history. Would you like to have a conversation about domestic violence? Multiple assaults leading to arrest or police citation? And don't tell me he's a boxer. He comes from a world of violence. Somehow that's an explanation. Pretty simple. You never put your hands on a woman, and he did not do enough jail time. But this is all about a world in which we are looking for the next big thing. Heat is important. I get it. I understand, especially given the circumstances of this week. And we'll talk some baseball coming up in 15 minutes if you still care about the grand old game. 40 past the hour, Richard Sherman last night, the SB, said that NFL players need to be willing to miss regular season or postseason games to get more guaranteed money. I'll tell you why that's never going to happen. Dana White and the promoters are shrewd businessmen, understanding you put these guys in different venues, we'll play sound like it, and it'll be a free commercial for the fight. But did you watch Floyd and Manny Pacquiao? And I was foolish enough to buy that fight. I'll be transparent with you. You know what happened in that fight, right? The same thing that happens in all of Floyd's fights. He dances and maybe sticks in a couple jabs. So if you find this fight interesting, tell me where I'm wrong. And I'm being upfront with you. I'm not just doing a bit on the radio. Because I'm older, not that old, but older, I'm from the 80s. I remember what boxing used to be. Those days are gone, and they're never coming back. And this fight really is an indictment of where boxing is right now. If you care about this sport, hang on to your money and wait until September when you got Triple G taking on Canelo Alvarez. That fight's going to be worth watching. Look at your money. You can do whatever you want with it. But do you really think you're going to get any return on this investment? Floyd, however you view him, and you know my opinion, is the greatest defensive boxer of his generation. Conor McGregor is not a fighter. This is ludicrous. This is Superman versus Batman, but we saw that terrible movie. This is Muhammad Ali against the Japanese wrestler in the 70s. Google that. But you can't get enough of this. And when Jim comes back, I'm sure he'll have Conor on because he talks to the biggest names in sports. And Conor's the best talker since Muhammad Ali. But this is not the smack off. This is supposed to be a fight. And I just think it's going to be a colossal waste of time. And we also can hear from Floyd because Floyd was a little bit low-key, day one of the tour in Southern California. Let's see if he revved it up yesterday in Canada.
If you believe in yourself like you say you believe in yourself, bitch your whole fight check, you no problem. Send the contract, kid. It's done. Let me see what it looked like. Peter, grab me one. Let me see what it looked like. See if this want to bet this.
Do what you're told. Do what you're told.
Okay. And then the junkyard dog ran in with a steel chair. They both have stolen Roddy Piper's act. You want to spend your money? Sign up for the WWE Network. Watch it in its original form. This is a lousy knockoff. I promise more phone calls. Let's get that done. It's Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. 800-636-8686. Here's Greg in Beaumont, Texas, wants to talk more Colin Kaepernick. Hey, Greg, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, Brian, appreciate you taking my call. And I'm commending you on a great topic there, man. My thing is this. You know, everybody is talking about the owners. Yes, the owners move everything. But you're going to see protests all over the NFL except for two stadiums. One is going to be New England, and the other is going to be Green Bay. Other than that, you're going to see protests. So here's my thing. If the owners are so concerned, because if I have a product and I'm trying to push this product and it's not selling, then I'm going to have to go to another alternative, correct? So my thing is they're going to see all these protests. And if people protest like they say that they are, you know, they're going to get this man back in. Transparency is everything. And we're not going to get political about it. But the honesty, true honest about this thing here, is that they're not being transparent. They're going around in circles. And you call it like it is, it's blackball, and that's what it is.
All right, Greg, appreciate the phone call, and I won't go that far because blackballing to me implies a conspiracy. I don't think there's collusion. In fact, I think the NFL would love Colin Kaepernick to have an opportunity, at least to make a team, from a standpoint of optics and PR. They want to be viewed as inclusive. I don't think there's a memo that's been circulated. I don't think the GMs got in a room. I was at the NFL owners meeting in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't think anybody got together and said, let's exclude Colin Kaepernick, but we know it's groupthink. And these clubs are using the same rationale, and I'm not going to avoid the football component. His skills have eroded still. If we're talking about a backup quarterback, you can't tell me he's not better than Ryan Fitzpatrick, Blaine Gabbert, or Case Keenum. Squeeze in one more phone call. Here's Ben in Des Moines. Ben, you're in the jungle. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm going to respond actually directly just to the last caller. It is political because Colin Kaepernick made it political when it escalated to the point where he could have controlled it last season and could have said, okay, you know, I've said my piece, and this is it. Now the damage has been done because, as the old adage goes, you should think before you speak, and he didn't do that. He is being punished by the NFL, by teams who do not want to take a risk or a chance by giving him a chance. That's what he's going to have to live with right now until somebody does take that risk or that gamble, and by picking him up and allowing him a chance.
Ben, before you go, does it change your mind at all that Adam Schefter reported during the scouting combine in Indy, I was there and I heard him talking about it, that Kaepernick's agent told ESPN, Kaepernick is not going to make a stance at all when it comes to the anthem if he has a chance to play this year?
I think that he's made his stance. He did it last year. I think he won't admit it to the general public, but he has learned that politics and football, well, any sport, do not match. They just don't, because the fans aren't going to tolerate it. Teams aren't going to tolerate it. Owners, because it is all sports are money driven. It's a shame because, yes, as Americans, we do have our right to speak and should not be criticized for it. But that's what happened to Colin Kaepernick.
All right, Ben.
And that's my take.
Appreciate the thoughtful phone call. That opens up a line at 800-636-8686. And a reminder, no guests, just me and you in the second hour of the program. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's BWWeber, Weber with two Bs. My counter would be politics has always been a huge part of sports. Jesse Owens, Olympics 1936, Muhammad Ali sacrificing years of his prime. You might not have shared his view, but I think his willingness to sacrifice was admirable. Jim Brown being active in the civil rights movement. Now, you could come back and say Colin Kaepernick is not as good as Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, fair point. Or you could say what he is embracing is wrong. That's your opinion. But I'm talking about the sports opportunity. Here's a big word, meritocracy. The best player is supposed to be given a chance. And I think because of the reasons we've been outlining, that chance is not coming. Coming up in 25 minutes, more NFL conversation. Richard Sherman at the ESPYs last night saying that NFL players need to be willing to sacrifice game checks in the regular season to get more guaranteed dough. I'll tell you why that's never going to happen. Straight ahead, because I'm in my mid-40s, my life is over. I still care about baseball. Second half starts tomorrow. Is the power surge with all these home runs enough to get you to care about the grand old game again? Plus, more of your phone calls at 800-636-8686. You're in the jungle on a Thursday. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio, 800-636-8686. Conversation never stops on Twitter. That's BW Weber. Weber with two Bs. Top of the hour. We're talking baseball with the nasty boy, Rob Dibble. I'll squeeze in some baseball in 5 minutes. But because the goal is to be interactive and the phone lines are blowing up, a lot of you want to talk Colin Kaepernick, plus you think I'm way off base when it comes to the unmitigated disaster and farce that Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor is going to be next month in Las Vegas. So let's head back to the phone lines. Here's CJ in Calgary. Hey, CJ, you're in the jungle. What's going on?
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
I am well. What do you want to talk about?
I was just curious. Did you say you would watch Mayweather-McGregor if it was in an octagon, but you're not going to watch the boxing match?
Yeah, because at least I would have a degree of uncertainty there because we know what's going to happen in boxing. Because Conor McGregor has no chance. He's not a striker even in the octagon.
So you think that Mayweather would stand a better chance in an octagon against McGregor?
How about this? I wouldn't stage it in either venue. I wouldn't have my uncle wrestle a bear at the county fair.
Yeah, I just think for the most part, I think the Mayweather-McGregor fight is going to go as everybody thinks. It'll probably be a decision win for Mayweather, but I don't know if everybody's giving McGregor enough of a chance in this fight. I mean, he's predicted what he's going to do in his MMA fights. He has the knockout power, and I think those first few rounds, if he comes with the right energy, he could catch Mayweather off guard and maybe do something, surprise some people.
So you're saying there's a chance. I would say even with the strength of the Canadian dollar, save your money. Let's get back to the Colin Kaepernick conversation. Here is Keith in Harrisburg, PA. Hey, Keith, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Look, I got to chime in with this Kaepernick thing. Everyone's trying to make it into a race thing, but I mean, let's be honest. Who's picking up a backup quarterback that's come in the fight? Enough baggage to upset the ownership, upset the $500 club seat owner purchasers. No one wants that. So, like, what's the point of bringing that in for someone who's going to be a backup? You want your backup just to come in, be quiet, do what you're told. Don't raise any ruckus, and you know, in case we need you, you're gonna be on stage. So don't embarrass us.
All right,
so
Keith.
I don't really get why everyone's trying to make this to a bigger.
I'll tell you, I appreciate the phone call because there's no precedent for a quarterback who played less than 5 years ago in the Super Bowl, and don't give me RG3, different example here. No precedent for a quarterback under the age of 30. Played well in a Super Bowl less than 5 years ago to not even have an opportunity. So I'm of the mindset he should be at least considered, and I know it's not going to happen, for a starting opportunity if a frontline starter goes down. But I'm dealing with reality. You can't tell me that Kaepernick is not a better option than what's going on with the Jets. And I know what the Jets are doing. They can't say it out loud, but thank you very much. Jets are going all in to maximize their possibilities of getting the number one overall pick because they believe Sam Darnold might be coming out of USC. Josh Allen's the hot name from Wyoming. Josh Rosen, more polarizing at UCLA, has to work on his maturity. The Bruins are so concerned about Rosen in a public setting, they're not bringing him to Pac-12 media days, and he's the face of the program. But as you look at the depth chart in New York City, you can't tell me Kaepernick is not better than a 38-year-old Josh McCown, Christian Hackenberg, who the Jets have swung on and missed so far as a second-round pick, or Bryce Petty under center. I promise some baseball. Your phone call's coming up in 15 minutes. If you're hanging on the line, stay there. 800-636-8686. Rob Dibble joins us top of the hour, 2 Eastern time. So, those of us who grew up in the 80s did not have many opportunities when it came to sports entertainment. I can remember 1983. We got basic cable, jumped up to 25 channels, changed my life. I wasn't a baseball fan by choice. I was a baseball fan because my old man controlled the remote, and we watched the Mets and Yankees every night as a kid growing up in the suburbs of New York City. Baseball was my first love, got me into broadcasting. So I'm not anti-baseball, but I'm trying to sustain my career, and we know that football drives the train. Plus, I was fortunate to work at NFL Network, and now I'm working for the NFL on TuneIn. Still, even I, who have distance from MLB, have to appreciate what's going on across the sport that used to be our national pastime. When you think about Aaron Judge becoming the face of baseball, now the question is it sustainable? I'm not saying 65, 70 home runs. I'm saying massive years every year in the Bronx because he's bigger than life. I don't think we've ever seen someone crush the baseball the way he does. Did you see Home Run Derby? And the answer is yes. Home Run Derby had a comparable rating to the All-Star Game, which got outrated by America's Got Talent. So Aaron Judge, the best thing to happen to baseball in 15 years, especially because he's wearing the pinstripes. Although, and we'll talk about this with Rob Dibble, top of the hour, you'll recall when he came up last year, he struggled. He's found his stroke this year. If you love home runs, it feels like 1988 all over again. Go back to last month of June. More home runs than any other single month in the history of baseball. I don't think the players are juicing. I don't want to be naive, but testing's gotten better. We'll talk about what's going on with the baseballs with Dibble, top of the hour. But as you watch these games, if you're watching, because the ratings are challenging nationally, is this enough to get you to care about baseball the way we used to, or has the world changed fundamentally that it just does not click with how we consume sports? Because the only problem with the home run comes down to this. It's all or nothing at all. These dudes are swinging for the fences because the culture of baseball's changed. There is no stigma anymore for going 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. 15 years ago, when I was covering baseball doing local TV in San Francisco and hanging around the clubhouse, if you had that kind of stat line, your teammates gave you a real hard time. Now, no problem. Plus, the analytics crowd says, with all the shifts, even for righties, it's better to strike out than to ground out. I know this is boring, so we'll do it in 20 seconds. Better strike out than ground out because it reduces the risk of having a double play. So the issue for me, as someone who truly loved the game and appreciated history, is not what's going on necessarily with pace of play. It's the long pauses between the action. Because with all these strikeouts up, and with home runs adding that finality, we're just not seeing enough action in between. In part because of the physics. Pitchers are stronger. Everybody's throwing mid-90s, even a middle reliever. Think about what's going on with these guys just swinging with impunity. If you're just watching a game on a nightly basis, there's just not enough action going on. It's not the length of the game. It's pace of play. And I think baseball will be the sport within a decade that actually sees revenue from a TV standpoint take a step back because ESPN is hemorrhaging money. And the next time this contract comes up, are they really going to pay the same freight for what they gave MLB for the rights for Sunday night or Sunday Night Baseball the last time? And then secondly, I think baseball has to be open to radical change. I'm not saying knock it down to 7 innings. I'm not saying put the ball on a tee. But if you know baseball history, you know, years ago, 1968 was the year of the pitcher. What'd they do the next year? They tinkered with the mound. I'm open for that. Why don't we have a conversation about a real strike zone? I don't care if it's enforced by lasers, robots, sharks. You got to get the ball in play with much more regularity. And baseball has to be open to all possible solutions. Because I'm not the issue. They got me. I'm going to watch until I'm no longer able to yell into this microphone. But they have two generations now of kids who grew up not playing baseball the way we used to, and they just don't care about the game because, especially now, with all these home runs and strikeouts, nothing is happening. And you got the guy stepping in and stepping out. Just stand there. I put a clock on everything. And I'm not saying the sky is falling right now. Baseball's still a $9 billion industry, but if they want to be sustainable, this gimmick of the home runs is not the long-term fix. We'll get back to the baseball conversation top of the hour when we say hello to the nasty boy, Rob Dibble. You can check him out on the radio in Hartford, ESPN Radio 97.9. Coming up, more football and more of your phone calls. Richard Sherman says the NFL is in an imbalance right now compared to the NBA when it comes to guaranteed money, and of course he's spot on. Will players be willing to sacrifice game checks to get more guaranteed money? I'm going to tell you why that's never going to happen. Brian Weber in for the great Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. Now let's get you a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
We continue on this Thursday on CBS Sports Radio. You can slide in 800-636-8686 whenever I'm hosting my own show and tune in or filling in for Jim. My phone call is always going to be front of the line, meaning that I'm just going to yell into this microphone. I am the caller that matters for 3 hours. However, you are a big part of this show, even though my philosophy is let's try to take phone calls selectively. Still, a lot of you want to talk Kaepernick. A lot of you disagree with me that somehow you think Conor McGregor has a chance when he and Floyd get it on next month in Las Vegas, Nevada. So more of your phone calls coming up. And let me be up front. If you don't get in now, it's going to be challenging. Probably going to wait until roughly an hour from now, because this is my three-hour phone call. Top of the hour, we talk baseball with an old friend who always has strong opinions, World Series champion Rob Dibble, 2:20 Eastern time. There's a lot to discuss in the NBA. We will cover it all with Rick Campbell of NBA TV and the NBA on TuneIn. A bunch of reports indicating that Carmelo Anthony could be on his way to Houston soon. If you think about what's already occurred with Chris Paul, and remember, it's effectively a one-year rental in Houston. That's all that's remaining on the deal after he was traded, to figure out how he and James Harden are going to coexist. Put Melo in the mix feels like it's going to be challenging, just from a standpoint of, will Melo be willing to move the ball along? And I know the counter is, it works with the Warriors brilliantly, but how about how that team was constructed? If you just think about Klay Thompson, he never dribbles, catch and shoot, and he took a major step back. Plus, and we'll talk about this with Rick Campbell coming up final hour of the show, for all the free agent moves and the trades like Jimmy Butler going to Minnesota, that's a good team that's going to make the playoffs when you consider what they've done picking up Jamal Crawford in addition to that young nucleus. Paul George going to Oklahoma City for at least 1 year with Russell Westbrook. What if they click? What if they make it to the Western Conference Finals? Do they both stay? Do they both go to the Lakers? I'm here in Southern California. Laker fans are convinced Paul George is coming next year. And, of course, he's bringing LeBron with him, because that's all we do in the NBA. It's all about looking forward. And that's why the Summer League is a good platform. It allows us to recap what's happened so far in the offseason and speculate about what's coming up when we get to the next cycle of free agency. There's a big chunk of you that pay no attention to the NBA at all until, say, Christmas, because then you want to avoid your family. Then there's another portion that parachutes in around All-Star Weekend. And then there's a big component of this audience that does not watch it all until we get to the postseason. Well, this year, what'd you get in the playoffs? You had just a couple Game 7s, Utah and the Clippers. You had the drama of Boston and Washington going back and forth, but it was seemingly inevitable the Warriors would marched their way to the title, only dropped one game, as you know. And for all the moves we're talking about, I don't think anything's changed. Yes, Gordon Hayward makes Boston better, but they lost Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk. In the West, because Durant left, millions on the table, Golden State is going to come back virtually unchanged. So while the NBA has done a terrific job of extending the offseason, making it a lot more like the NFL, I don't think it's too early to say we're looking at Golden State Cleveland Chapter 4 next June. You want to hit me up on Twitter, it's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Got one from the Canadian Hitman. Today's audience has a limited attention span, and with baseball, most fail to maintain... Look, another grumpy cat. Making the point that I was trying to make. With NBA conversation coming up, we'll connect what's going on in hoops to a pressing need in the National Football League, and I use that word with intent. If anybody deserves, and that's a loaded term, but if anybody deserves more guaranteed money, it's the guys who put their body on the line every down, who have the shortest career lengths, about 3.2 years, and they play in the most profitable league. NFL generating mountains of cash, $13 billion a year, but I'll give you the observation of Richard Sherman coming up, and I'm going to tell you why he's dead wrong. Back to the phone lines. They're blowing up at 800-636-8686. Here's Kevin in Indy. Hey, Kevin, you're in the jungle. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing today?
I am well.
Well, you know, I like to get to the point there real quick, with Colin, and I want to talk about boxing real quick. One thing he did bring to a lot of Americans who didn't know their history about what the song really meant there. And he used his platform to get a message out, what he sees, what's going on in America. As you know, America don't like a black man that uses his platform to speak what he sees in his eyes and other people should see in their eyes. Something is going wrong. Something is going wrong there. But I don't want to get too much deep on that. I want to talk about boxing. Been a boxing fan. I go back to the Wide Wars of Sports Day, boxing on Saturdays. Love boxing. Love boxing. I'm not going to watch this stuff. It's not a boxing match. It makes me – I think I'm going to go to the Indiana County Fair and see something if I'm going to watch this. You know, both of these guys are wolfing at each other, going to sucker you in to pay all this money to see this. Just wait 2 weeks from there and see real boxing between Canelo and Triple G.
All right, Kevin. Appreciate the insights. I like it when I said that exact same point in the first hour of the program, but I know the audience is always changing. When it comes to Kaepernick, let me be completely upfront. I don't agree with what he did. His values are not my values. He lost me when he admitted he didn't vote. The socks with the pigs depicting law enforcement. The Twitter image equating modern law enforcement to the catchers of runaway slaves in the 19th century was dead wrong. But two things can be equally true. This is a football conversation. If we're just talking about impactful players, Colin Kaepernick can make a team better as the backup because we know quarterbacks go down all the time. Talking about Teddy Bridgewater a year ago. Let me take you back to last August. He went down on a practice field, non-contact injury. So maybe the phone rings at that point, but because Kaepernick is so polarizing and because his skills have eroded to a degree, he's serviceable. He's middle of the pack. I don't think he's ever getting another chance. Here's Todd in West Palm Beach. Hey, Todd, you're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
How you doing, Tom? I just got to begin by saying you have one of the most smoothest radio voices there ever was in sports talk. I really am a big fan. Now, the one common thread that American sports has is the national anthem. It's a sacred tradition. It's the wrong area for him to mess with there. When you see international sports like Rafi Nadal just won the French Open, they play his national anthem. He's very proud during that moment. There has to be a different avenue for him to get his audience. That was the wrong place. It's too disrespectful. National Football League begins with nation. The nation of America, the greatest nation in the world. I mean, now it's court for opinion. We're Americans, but so is he.
All right, Todd, appreciate the phone call. And yes, I do have a radio voice. Sadly, this is how I sound off the air as well. It'd be tough, I think, to go, hi, everybody. And then you sound totally different in real life. It's like the hot take artist. How do you keep it straight? If one day you are pro Kaepernick, the next day you got to go the other way. For better or for worse, I mean what I say and I say what I mean. Let me just throw this out to you to think about. And I know the answer, and we can talk about the historical precedent in a moment. And I'm not saying that I don't enjoy the anthem at games, although think about what you do. Do you really pause and reflect on freedom and what this country's all about? Or are you eating a nacho or on your phone? But why do we have the national anthem at sporting events at all? Don't typically play it at a concert. Certainly we don't play it at a movie. It's entertainment. Now, the answer is this all came in the wake of swelling patriotism around World War I. I know the historical precedent, but if we're just talking about why the anthem is there, and I think it's a wonderful asset, it is worthy of conversation just to focus on the connection of sports and politics that so many of you don't want to acknowledge. One more. Here's Rich in Huntington Beach. Hey, Rich, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brian, it's not how hard you can hit. It's how hard you can get hit. Get down and keep moving forward. That's Rocky Balboa. To say that that's like one of the worst sequels ever is like 90s Raider myopia, bro. Getting on to Colin Kaepernick, three things I really think he made a mistake on. First of all, I think he should have stood for Military Appreciation Day down in San Diego. And then I think he should have followed it up by standing for Veterans Day the following week. And he should have voted. I mean, isn't that what the whole social injustice uprising was all about?
I'm with you, Rich. I said he lost me when he admitted he did not vote. I thought that was a terrible admission.
Did a guy like, if he does those things, if he stands on those 2 days, do we have a completely different narrative of Colin Kaepernick?
I agree, because I don't think he fully thought it through. I think this was something that was building up, and he did not realize the consequences. Rich, thank you, but if we're going to quote Rocky movies, my prediction for the fight? Pain. Hang on the line. I know it's been painful. Only one more hour, but unfortunately, I'm back with you tomorrow. Then Jim's back with you on Monday, and we'll chat down the road. 800-636-8686. Hang on the line. I will get to more of your phone calls in the final hour of the show, but you know that the guests take precedent, and as mentioned, this is my three-hour phone call because I have a microphone and you will listen to me. Top of the hour, we talk baseball with a man who always brings it on and off the field, Rob Dibble, World Series champion, my old radio partner. And then coming up at 2:20 Eastern time, we're going to get the latest on Carmelo Anthony potentially to Houston. If you care about takeaways from the summer league, we will cover it with Rick Hamble of NBA TV. Probably know by now that Lonzo Ball went off last night, 36 points, but Markelle Fultz was not playing for the Sixers. Want to finish the hour talking about guaranteed money, straight cash, homie, because it should be pretty evident to you why the NBA has all of this guaranteed money. Same case for baseball, and the NFL does not. And one important distinction to note is that was earned. It was not given through the generosity of ownership in either basketball or baseball. And I won't do the full labor history lesson, but Marvin Miller had to come over after his years with the auto workers and the coal miners and instill that notion to baseball players who thought they'd never play again. And you can think about the sacrifice of the 1994 season. That was my second year in baseball as the pregame host of the San Francisco Giants. They shut it down August 11th and didn't play a World Series. But based on giving up all of that money, the baseball players won. Here we are in 2017. There's still no cap like we see in the NFL. Hard cap, soft cap in the NBA. So for Richard Sherman last night on the red carpet, the ESPYs, to say, if we as the NFL, as a union, want to get anything done, players have to be willing to strike. That's the thing guys need to 100% realize. Don't we know that already, Richard? Aren't players aware of what it would take to change this pay scale, which is never going to change for a couple fundamental reasons? Every step of the way, ownership has out-negotiated the NFLPA. The union for the WNBA has done a better job for the rank and file than the union in the National Football League. Secondly, these guys have the shortest career length, about 3.2 years on average. Do you think somebody is willing to stand up in a locker room and say, fellas, this is wrong? For the greater good of the guys coming up, we're going to strike. Or how about this? And here's what it would take, in my view, to get things to change. It's never going to happen, but we'll throw it out there, just like you think Conor McGregor has a chance when he gets in the ring against Floyd Mayweather. A reminder, NFL players get paid the vast majority of their money during the regular season. Chop it up into 16. Some teams make it a 17-week pay scale with the bye factored in. So once these dudes get all their money, we get to wild card weekend. If they wanted to impact change and try to get more guaranteed money, they should walk out to midfield. You're watching the game on CBS. Jim Nantz says, hello, friends. Both teams shake hands and say, we're not playing. We're on strike as of now, and we're shutting down the postseason. That's what it would take. But it's never going to happen because we have to deal with reality. Half of these guys, this is not opinion, this is stats-driven, half of these guys are broke within 10 years. So because the money's flowing out the door as quickly as they get it, with multiple homes, and I'm not saying don't take care of the people that were important to you on the way up, but you got to be more selective. And baby mama drama. If anybody deserves guaranteed money, undeniably it's the National Football League, who has the most money. But you're also aware of some other key elements. We're talking about a 53-man roster. Never going to happen. As opposed to 12 guys, and not all of them get huge money, as you know, in the NBA. But when you see the deal finalized over the weekend, James Harden, $228 million through 2023, and you're a football player saying, man, we have not gotten virtually anything we've been looking for. Negotiation by negotiation. Well, the answer is one of two things. Get a better union or go on strike. And neither is going to happen. Even though, if we're talking about the guys who have the shortest careers, the highest probability of injury, and yes, Godfather 2, this is the business they have chosen. They knew coming in, this was a collision sport. I'm not saying give them a cookie and a pat on the head. But I do think you can have a realistic conversation about deserving. And you could also counter with NBA guys have a more lucrative skill set. There's a lot of big dudes who can grunt and knock the guy over in front of them. And that's going to be cool enough to get him a career in the NFL. But the world's not going to change. Richard Sherman can talk all he wants to, but I don't see anything on the horizon to suggest guaranteed money's coming to the National Football League. Here's what's coming up on this show. We're talking baseball when we come back, top of the hour, with the nasty boy, Rob Dibble. You can be a part of the show, 800-636-8686. You're in the jungle on the Thursday. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio.